everybody, and welcome to Friday Night Live with Wind Against Tide. You all had the choice of either going to Taylor Swift or sitting down with us and talking crap for about an hour, and you've chosen us. Don't know whether that's smart or not, but thanks for coming on board. Joseph Fernand, how are you going, my friend?
Are we giving away tickets to Taylor Swift?
Yeah, why not?
Well, too late. The concert's already started.
Why is there
no more tickets?
Why is there a peg on the table?
Yeah, because freaking hell, you've just absolutely crop dusted. Just before we went live and Dave told me to shut the door, he's just absolutely dropped his guts.
And
we're trapped in here. And
well, you don't talk about that here.
It's very stinky. Please.
Well, you've got your peg, so put it on.
I can't. It doesn't fit over my Italian nose.
It looks like a very aggressive peg, actually. I'd like to see you attempt that.
Actually, it goes this way. Okay, there you go. Oh, thank Christ for that.
What a way to start. So, Joey, the first thing you wanted to bring up is your favourite royal you've discovered is quite a fishing fanatic.
Oh, yes. King Charles, I just discovered this week, is an absolute weapon on the Marlin. Check him out in all of his glory here. This photo takes us back to 1979 at Rottnest Island. He came to Australia to dominate the Marlin. How cool is that? Check him up on your screen there. What do you think's going through the young prince's mind in 1979? I need you to narrate this picture for me, Dave.
I think he's sitting there going, "Come on, you blithering idiots, put me on a large Marlin so I can wind it in. Toot sweet."
Yeah, he's just sitting on the back there on his throne, in fact. Before he became a king, he was sitting on the Marlin throne on the back of a game boat. How about that?
I've got a bit more fishing info on him than you do, Joseph.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Tell us what.
Well, I'm not gonna read the whole thing. But he has always been an avid fisherman, Joe, from an early age, taught to fish by his mother, Queen Elizabeth II.
Ah.
And his father.
Lizzie liked to wrangle a few trout, did she?
She did. We've talked about this in the past. She's a trout lover.
Yes.
And not like that lady from Tasmania. Much different. grow up, Joseph. King Charles taught both William and Harry to fly fish from a young age, and their nanny and confidant, Tiggy Leg Burke, is one of the most experienced fly fishermen in fishers in the UK. It goes on. But anyway,
yeah,
the whole royal family, they're fishing fanatics, Joe.
Yeah, there you go. It's very interesting. But yeah, there is King Charles dominating the Marlin at Rottnest Island, picture of him as well. So yeah, but it's been a pretty big week in fishing. Finally, we're getting a bit of break in the weather in Melbourne. We can finally string together 2 or 3 days, you know, under 10 knots, which is absolutely fantastic because it's just been blowing its kanaka off here.
Yeah, it's like we're just starting to get a stable weather pattern come through. It's good here and it's good up the coast for all those that are up there chasing Marlin Joe. So I reckon after this weekend, we're going to have fishing reports coming out our ear holes. Should be very exciting.
Yeah, and we might even get a chance to get out this weekend as well, Dave. We've got some fishing plans organised for Sunday.
Yep.
Actually, I'm not invited just yet.
This is awkward. Okay. Well, I've got 4 people have announced they're coming aboard my vessel on Sunday, and I just assumed that Joseph was doing gigs because he'd kind of blocked out a period for gigging. And then apparently...
It was coming to a conclusion this weekend.
He messaged me this morning. He said, are you going on Sunday? I was like, ooh, this is going to be a little bit awkward because the boat's quite full. But nonetheless, Joseph, we will work out a way. Whether or not we have to just tow you behind the boat on a paddleboard or something or...
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But we will see what happens there and hopefully we get out and get some cool footage.
There's a tactical question. What are you thinking? Are you thinking offshore?
Always offshore this time of year. You know, what I'd love to be doing, Joe, would be going up the coast and chasing Marlin, but...
Yes. We need 3 days.
Well, back when we were youngins, we'd do it for a day trip. But these days it's a little bit more difficult and we're not as cool as we used to be. So, yeah, we'll probably just stick local. We'll do the tuna and kingfish. It's very hard to resist that fishing this time of year, Joe, when you can go out in the warmth of summer and target some of the hardest fighting fish that swim in our waters. So I reckon a few people will be doing the same thing, and it hopefully won't be too busy on the water, but at the same time, hopefully everyone gets out and has a good time.
Yeah, I think it will be busy though. It's just the last few weekends have been absolutely crazy.
I know. We just haven't had enough stable weather for everyone to get their fix. So when the weather's good, it's just absolutely mayhem at the ramps, Joey.
Yep.
Now you outright attacked me today.
Oh, okay.
Attacked me because I was showing off about how good the souvlaki I had for lunch was. I claimed it to be, and I still claim it to be, the best souvlaki in the world. Blair, down there at, oh, not Blair Gary, sorry. Down there at Rye, meet the Greek Joe.
Does he have his lamb spinning over charcoals?
Oh, they do. They're okay. Genuine Greeks.
Okay.
Genuine Greeks. The name is accurate. And you said that I was like breaking the rules by having a mixed souva.
Well, you know, you just, yeah, like you should pick either chicken or lamb. It's one or the other.
Mm. Actually, Siraj is on the live feed now telling you that we can fit you in, Joe.
Oh, good.
And we can fit me in, which is good because it's my own boat.
I'm glad the Prince of Nepal has said it's okay. Good.
Good. Anyway, what were you saying? Back to the souva chat.
Yeah, well, you know, it's, you know, why would you go mixed, Dave?
You know, when you can't really make up your mind and, you know, like you hedge your bets, I guess. It's a 50-50.
Well, you know, I'm a purist.
I've been told that about you.
Yeah, it's going to be either chicken or lamb, because if you mix in the fats of chicken and lamb, it just gets all jumbled up.
I was told by a genuine ethnic man that in Greece they actually prefer to use pork, but our pork in Australia sucks.
That's exactly right.
So they don't do it.
That's exactly right. I went to Greece earlier last year and, yeah, it had some beautiful pork souvlakis. Actually, if you head on into Oakley, there's a few traditional Greek eateries and, yeah, pork is absolutely what they use.
Oh, interesting. So I wonder why our pork's no good to eat.
Look, let's face it, like we use lamb here. Lamb or pork, it's got quite a bit of fat on it, and the whole idea of spit is the charcoals heat up the meat and the fat drips off.
Renders
off that pork or lamb, and it goes onto the coals and it spits smoke back up onto the meat. So it gets that beautiful taste.
Now, tonight's episode will be a little bit different, Joe, because...
Which is brought to you by Shimano, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Brought to us by Shimano. Yeah, good point. Because it's a Friday night, which is unusual for us. First point of difference there.
Yep.
Second of all, we haven't really done much this week. There's not really been that much going on this week either. There will be on the weekend, I'm sure, but there hasn't been that much going on to date, so...
And we've got a Labor Day long weekend coming up.
We thought, who's going to save us here? The loyal band of Windy Tiders, that's who. So we put a shout out and we've had a few guys send in some topics that they'd love to see covered and a few questions. So we're going to run through.
We're going to go straight into question time, are we?
No, we're not. No. We're just going to run through a few of the topics that were suggested and then we'll get.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we will continue on the same.
Trajectory?
Yes, that's the one. Sure. So a few of these questions have been sent in, topics have been sent in by you guys that we're going to run through. Also, would like to point out that we had a new video go up during the week, which was speed tuna run. So it was basically tuna fishing after work on a Saturday, and we wanted to see how quickly we could go from work to catching tuna. And that's about a 10-minute long episode, so if you've got a few minutes spare, jump on and have a look at that. It's got some really cool drone footage and a little bit of sadness in losing a couple of decent fish.
Yeah, and you were actually on your brother Tom's boat.
Yep.
On a Webster Twin Fisher.
On the Webster.
Which has a sticker saying that it's the perfect fishing vessel. It's self-proclaimed.
Yes. I don't know about self-proclaiming things. It's a big call, but they've gone ahead and done it.
I tell you what, those summer local bluefin tuna out of Melbourne at the moment, it's exceptionally exciting. There's a few big fish around at the moment. We're hearing a few rumours of some spoolings happening out there and people having fish on for half an hour and losing them, it would definitely pay to have a couple of big setups going at the moment because you just never know your luck. Come to think of it, last year, New Year's Day, Sasha's his son, wasn't it, caught a barrel.
Out of Sash.
Sorry, it was Sash. Caught a barrel out of the eastern entrance of Western Port on New Year's Day. Was it? It was like 98 kilos, or did it crack 100?
I think it was right around 100. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one of the other topics I was going to bring up was, you know, because everyone says they lost a big fish amongst these small ones, and I just feel like no one's really, like, when you say, you know, that was a bigger one, people are like, yeah, yeah, whatever. But, like, without tooting my own horn, I've seen quite a lot of 100-kilo tuna. And this one that we had on was behaving like a very good fish. So they are definitely good ones around. And there's been a few spoolings and a few people getting blown away because we're all running lighter gear for the school tuna.
Look, I had a mate ring me this week, Dennis De La Silva. He was out on a mate's boat out the eastern entrance.
Sounds like a real estate agent.
He was under the windmills. He was told as soon as you get to the windmills, just put your lures out. He got out at first light in the morning and he's put his lures out and they hooked a fish that they were on for half an hour. They got it by the boat, but they didn't have the correct sort of gaff. The gaff was like too short. It was one of those short gaffs, and he reckons he saw the fish and he reckons about 40 kilos. And, yeah, he's seen plenty of tuna, that particular fellow.
Oh, yeah?
But, yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of 40s around out there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Remarkable. See, even I doubt.
That's easy. You're a skeptic. You're a real tuna skeptic, aren't you?
I am. Unless I've qualified the person's comments, I err on the side of disbelief.
Look, I'm saying there probably could be some 40 kilo ones there because really your drone footage last week, you know, there's some big white belly flashing underneath some of those fish.
Yeah, if you actually watch that slowly, like, and concentrate on individual fish, there's definitely some pretty good solid ones amongst them for sure. Yeah. I reckon, yeah, bigger this year than they have been in the past. So
you never know your luck in a big city. Actually, Chris Cassar of Cassar Fishing Charters, he popped up on socials this week a picture of a, was it 27 kilo tuna? Was it 29 kilos? Something like, it was high 20s.
Yeah, he's been catching some good ones, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We might run through a few tuna fishing techniques a little bit later, because one of the questions sent in,
we can't resist it. We're tuna fanatics.
My good friend Michelle was asking for a few tips there. We had a few questions about that actually. So the hunger is there, Joe. People want to know.
Yeah.
G'day everyone who's watching the live feed.
Oh, Bo Ealy's just jumped in the chat room.
Bo Ealy. Bergy, Shane, Will, Snoop, Suraj, mate.
We actually had an eel video drop this week on TikTok.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. We had the conga.
Yeah, and if you don't follow us on TikTok, by the way, you're missing out on a great deal of fun because Wind Against Tide is definitely on TikTok. And this week we released a video from good friend Jonah Yick, who was down at Coles Bay.
We've got double eels. We've got a double eel hookup.
We've got an eel in the chat room and an eel up on our screen. And what you can see there is he's at the pier with a hand line. There's a giant conga eel. Not conga like the drum, not spelt that way. It's conga, C-O-N-G-E-R. And have a look at that thing. It just freaking, it's massive.
Well, Jonah was actually there with his English in-laws, so they would have felt right at home, Joe, because that's what they do over there. That's one of their premier sports fish.
Yeah, Marion was there and she was like, oh, it's a bloody electric eel.
Really?
And Jonah was like, no, it's a conga, conga. Yeah. Like, oh, it's a bloody electric eel.
Jonah's the sort of person that would get very upset about missed calls on fish species.
Yes.
Being of a scientific background, both him and his partner, Helen.
But yeah. There you go, up on your screen now. It's Win Against Tide TikTok. Get amongst it. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy it. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, Shane's asked, how is it prepared? What's he talking about? The eel?
Oh, no, it was actually released. That was one of my questions that I did ask Jonah about the conga eel. I said, oh, does that be a good bait for sword fishing? And he says he couldn't take it because he ran out of room in his esky for another species, which we will talk about.
Oh, we will talk about that a little bit down the track.
Yeah, a bit down the track. You'll have to wait for the end of that story.
Absolutely. Joey, have you been enveloped by Swift mania? Taylor Swift, as a musician, how are you feeling about the propaganda surrounding that young lady?
Look, Basically, if one other person asks me if I've got hookups to get Taylor Swift tickets this week, I'm going to scream. No, I've had a lot of – the phone's been ringing hot.
Really?
I have been involved with big-time music companies, but not that particular promoter that's bringing out Taylor Swift. I've been involved with the Mushroom Music Group, just sort of the other stable, but then, yeah, there's another stable that brings out Taylor Swift. But everybody seemed to think that I could magically get Taylor Swift tickets, so –
Well, you were briefly a part of the Village People.
I was.
So you're a bit of a...
No, yeah. That's just the support band, yeah.
Ah, okay. You're a bit of a heavy hitter. Yeah. As a musician, though, we're not going to talk about this much longer.
No, we can.
What do you think about her? Like, is she as talented as the fandom represents?
And
she'll be listening.
No, I'm probably not qualified to say it. I haven't... I enjoy her music, but, like... Honestly, I feel in the last, you know, I'm going to say 10, 12 months, there's been an incredible amount of media about her. You know, the documentaries come out, movies come out, and it's just sort of propelled her to superstardom. I'm not saying she's not incredibly talented because I think she is, but definitely think whoever is in charge of her marketing has absolutely nailed it.
Okay. If she was a fish species, what would she be? And this will determine her rating.
A kingfish.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a high-end fish.
Yeah, well, she's slender, long, and
Dave Jurisic is not happy about that. He wants to talk about old Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be next episode. A flounder, a bottom-feeding flounder. What he's calling her. Joey, another topic suggested through our wonderful friends online. Best and worst fishing trips. Have you had a bit of a think about that, my friend?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I did throw it at you then.
No, you did. One of the best fishing trips, well, I got to say, was Port Macdonald last year when we returned to the Mac.
Interesting. We've had probably more successful fishing trips than that, but is that because it was just an all-round good time?
It was a good time, good company. And it'd been probably about 10 years since I'd seen barrels jumping out of the water. That was pretty special.
Yeah, that is always very exciting. And I think, because we caught that fish with a relatively new technique for us.
Yeah.
And then we went back to this house we had and just got pissed, basically. Rode ourselves off for the next day and... Basically, we were never going to achieve anything the next day the way we were, but that's all right.
Yeah, we just caught a fish, went back to the ramp and the pub and just drank our own bathwater all night.
That's it. there's no better feeling than that, is there? When
you just self-marinate in your own glory, right?
The pressure's gone and you can just sit back and relax and just be blind drunk and happy. Shane, who was with us, is saying he can't actually remember the night, which I'm not surprised about because, he definitely... Got stuck into a few at the Nelson pub. But, that was definitely one of them, Joey. Definitely one of them. I'm going to go on the... This probably isn't my favourite trip, but I'm going to reminisce on one. The first marlin I ever caught.
Oh, yeah.
We'd been shit for years. And just as my heart had snapped in two and I'd given up, I think it was just like a fishing report went up that guys were banging them at Jervis Bay. And had Winger on the phone at like 10 p.m.
Oh, that sounds classic, Brendan.
It is.
Like a fantastic fishing idea at 10
o'clock.
And back
then I'd go along with that crap. And it was like, someone's just got 10, we got to go. And we literally, I left my house in the eastern suburbs. And I reckon we left his house in Crib Point at about 10:30 p.m. and rolled straight through to Jervis Bay. And we basically sleep drove our way out to the shelf, deployed some live baits and walked them around. And what do you know, a rod takes off and first one's a black marlin, which I wound in, a pretty solid black marlin. And, it was like after being crap for so long and like having fish miss hooks and stuff, it's just when that actually works, it's such a good feeling. And I think we went on to catch 3 or 4 fish for that trip.
Was that the time where the marlin almost took your hand off on the trace?
No, that was another trip.
Okay.
No, the handoff on the trace was a tiny tuna.
All right.
But there was a black marlin that beat the crap out of my arm because I refused to let it go.
Yeah.
Because we wound it in quite green and it was just going apeshit beside the boat for ages and my arm ended up all red.
Oof.
Which was a good time, Joe. They're quite notorious for that black marlin.
Yeah.
If you touch their bill, they're not happy about it at all. So, yeah, that was probably my best one. Worst one, there's been a lot of crap ones. And I don't know if you could really contribute it to one trip, as I think it's a consistent beatdown of missing many times in a row. Like when we were trying to crack the swordfish code, it was a good 3 to 4 years of sadness there, missing out on other good fishing, trying to catch a swordfish.
Yeah.
But it makes it all the more satisfying. Actually, that should have been my number one trip, catching that swordfish on my own.
Oh, yeah, that was incredible.
That was an immensely satisfying fish, that one. But, yeah, I think...
How the hell do you bring in a swordfish on your own?
Mate, there is a video out there somewhere, but I ended up attaching it to the anchor winch and winching it into the boat.
Did you just think of that on the spot, or was it...
Yeah.
Or was it just like, nah, this is the only way I can do it?
I reckon we'd had that discussion at some point when we were driving on one of our long drives up the coast, what you do if you're solo. And, tried to haul it into the boat a few times and then I was like, nah, the only way this is coming in is if I either cut it in half or try and use the winch. And it actually worked really good.
It was about 180 kilos, wasn't it?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.
More like 108.
Oh, okay. I got the 8 mixed around.
I wish it was 180. But yeah, no, that was one of the better ones, Joe.
Yep.
What are you looking up, my friend?
I just keep going. I'm just getting my technology prepared for our next topics.
Oh, well, I'm kind of up to the next topics now because...
All right. Well, yeah, you wouldn't believe some fishing news this week. There were reports that this fellow hadn't been doing particularly well, but the bearded burbler, the OG of fishing, Rex Hunt, was on board fishing with Sean Ferdier of Think Big Charters, chasing these beloved whiting on Western Port. If there's anything Rexy loves, it's whiting. And it was really good to see. Think Big Fishing writes, had the privilege this afternoon of taking out someone who has created inspiration in one form or another for all anglers, both locally and nationwide over many, many years. Rex Hunt certainly helped my earlier beginnings during the early 80s, listening to him on the radio each Friday evening on 3DB and later 3AW. That was the OG podcaster, Dave. I used to call up and patiently wait to ask some questions relating to local fishing around Port Phillip Bay. Rex, along with John Clements from Camperdown Purrumbeat fame and Graham McLeod from the Police Angling Club and Vic Metro old AAA Fishing Club comp days, hopped aboard for a session on extracting the bone. Plenty of good bone to take home. Took a few moves to find our groove and get them coming in regularly and smooth. Bagged the three guys after rolling them in the net. Filleted the lot at the ramp and tables. Great session and lots of good memories rekindled. Thanks again, guys. There he is.
If I knew Rexy was at my local ramp, I would have raced on down there.
Yeah.
And said g'day.
But it's good to see he's doing well.
No, it is good, Joe. It's really good. There's been a few reports out in the media and glad he loves his whiting fishing, so that's awesome. And you can see he's using the old school Butterworth rod there, Joey.
The quiver tip, isn't it?
Look at the bend in that bad boy. You don't see enough of that these days. Absolutely right around on itself.
Yeah.
And that's probably just the sinker. So, yeah, not really good to see, Joe.
Look at him. He's wearing an OG fishing shirt and he's got a couple of flies. I'm telling you, I have to get a couple of flies for my shirt.
Yeah, you're back in the modern bicycle style. Yeah,
I've gone back to yuppie style. But I do need some new fishing clothes. If anyone would like to donate some fishing clothes.
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to ask Shimano about that, wasn't I?
Yeah, don't worry. I'm sure it's coming.
Yeah, I'm sure. Definitely. But
yeah, there you go. That's my news flash for this week.
Awesome. I enjoyed that. What else we got to run through here?
Your Mully's Marine has
we're going to give that a mention. Anyone who is in the market for a Haynes Hunter, we're running a few demo days on the 14th, 15th and 16th.
Great. What do I need to do to attend a demo day? What do I have to bring? Well, what do I have to do?
Well, just jump on the Mully's Marine socials or give us a call and register your interest. But we're going to be at Paddo, Hastings and Cowes. So, you know, so good spread of locations there, Joey.
So what I'm trying to understand is here, you and your team are going to have all the best Haynes hunters launched and tied up at the pontoons, and all you have to do is just show up and select your favourite Haynes hunter that you'd like to take for a spin, and you take it for a spin with one of you boys while you secretly try to sell them one.
Absolutely. No, no, it's not not secretly selling. I'm just happy for people to come on and go for a buzz.
No, experience them. Absolutely. I'm sure they're a fantastic boat to drive.
They are, and you'll see that when you attend these days, Joe.
Actually, I've been a long time since I've been on a Haynes
hunter. Actually, you and your father probably are due for a bit of an upgrade, so you probably should come down and jump on for a ride.
Yeah. So those venues, again, going to be at Paterson River?
You're brilliant at this. Paddo, Hastings, Cowes.
Yeah.
14th, 15th, 16th. But yeah, just have a look on the socials and you'll see some updates on that. And it'd be good to have a chat with some guys and go for a spin.
Love it. That's cool.
How's the new season of maths treating you, Joey?
Oh, I have to catch up this week. It's been a very, very busy week for me. But I'm gonna catch up on maths.
Okay.
Desperately tried to catch up on it last night, and I fell asleep in front of it.
Oh dear. Simon Webster saying every 6 meter plus trailer boat in the universe is heading to Bermagui tonight through Bairnsdale. So the Mexicans are indeed. There's a Mexican wave approaching. Approaching the south coast of New South Wales this evening, and I don't blame them looking at that forecast.
Mate, those Indians at the petrol station will be getting the thrill of their life with the amount of petrol they'll be selling down that east coast.
Well, apparently people were caught out the other day because of all the power outages. You couldn't get fuel unless you had cash, which is perfect because the whole game fishing community is ethnic and they all believe in hiding large wads of cash in various places. So
they were all good. Which I found absolutely hysterical when everybody was talking about cash was Bitcoin this week, the international digital currency. It's hit an all-time high of $51,000 USD.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I thought Bitcoin was done with.
Well, it went... Look, it was around high 40s and then it dropped down like quite a lot, I think to around sort of 18,000, but now it's back up to 51,000. So there you go.
Anyway, I should go check that my boat hasn't self-driven itself up the coast to catch marlin because it's sick of me holding it back.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's still in my driveway there, Joe.
You've had a couple of maintenance items on your boat at the moment.
Yeah.
Do you care to
mate, there comes a time where you that? Just got to stop flogging the vessel and do a little bit of well, to be fair, I've only really started. I've ticked a few things off the list, Joe, but there's a lot more to go, my friend.
What are some of the things that gets wear and tear on extreme that needs maintenance?
You always got to look at the trailer, given the amount of towing we do. And then from there, I reckon I had like a leaky helm with steering fluid coming out, which apparently is really uncommon.
Uncommon.
Very uncommon.
It's not a hydraulic steering thing?
Yeah, but normally it leaks near the motor, not up at the helm,
okay.
I'm told. Various wiring bits and pieces and plumbing and that sort of thing. A new jockey wheel went on there. Our friends at Allenar Boat Catchers, and I do not mean to make a plug here, but they were actually just out of the blue right when I needed a hero because mine was broken. I was contacted by those fellas and they sent us out a new one, Joe, so...
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's fantastic.
So I'm refitting a new one of those onto the boat because it's been really annoying not having that working.
Oh, it's brilliant. Love a good boat catch.
So there's a bit more to do, but yeah, we're starting to get there.
Yeah.
And I notice all you people that enjoy catching fish on the boat seem to be missing at these points. Awkward silence from Joseph.
No, that's all right. I was just looking up L&R Boat Catchers because I did have a... update of them. No, that's okay.
Okay, very good. So, yeah, she's coming along, Joe, and she'll be absolutely ready to rumble.
Yeah, beautiful.
Very shortly. Oh, your nose peg. Now you're in trouble.
Uh-oh.
We might run through some fishing reports, I reckon. What
all
do
right.
you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey!
Welcome to The Hookup, where we go around Australia and indeed the world for the freshest fishing reports. All right, so to start off with, we had a message sent in from Nathan McDermott. So he said he would be the worst live caller tonight because he's high on Valium, which is an interesting thing to make the world aware of.
Oh, no.
He's got a surgery tomorrow. So aren't you supposed to have the Valium after the surgery? Anyway.
Yeah.
But he said there is an upcoming whiting comp and an upcoming offshore fishing comp coming up at Hastings, so maybe we can get some details about that a little bit later. But he did okay on a short session around the front the other day, and off Hastings, I'm guessing that is.
Yep.
Nothing under 40 centimetres on the whiting and a nice gum dog.
Yep, I've got it right here, up on your screen now.
Hasn't been offshore for tuna yet, but it's coming. Good on you, Nathan.
Yeah.
And good luck with your surgery.
Man, those whitings are huge. Have a look at the lips on them. You can tell that they're freaking massive.
Nothing
fish.
Under 40 centimetres. That's a massive achievement, isn't it?
Yep.
If you're whiting fishing, that's quite amazing. That's
if you're
like
whiting
catching
fishing,
all 5 kilo plus snapper, isn't it?
Yeah. If you're whiting fishing, you're in heaven.
Absolutely. Next one I got here is a pretty exciting red hot report from down south. Eagle Hawk Neck. First swordfish of the season.
Oh,
potentially
wow.
In Australia recreationally, Joe.
Yes, I think I've got that one here as well. Yes, up on your screen now.
So Oof. That one's from Sammy Nichols, legendary family down there at Eagle Hawk Neck.
Legendary fishing family.
Son of Stuart. And he's got his own boat these days, and he did this last year as well, went out and nailed a sword early. So it begins. First
yeah.
sword of the season. So that was second drop for the season, and the fish was 121 kilo.
Yeah, check it out.
Impressive. So the old school Eagle Hawk Neck weighing zone there. Sorry, that giant bullhurst sausage is just trying to make a reappearance.
Bullhurst?
Is that what it's called?
It's called Boerewors.
Boerewors.
That was the South African call. Bullhurst. Boery.
Yeah,
Boery master.
I didn't rate it.
Okay.
It was all right. It was novel.
It's different.
Not the best sausage I've ever had.
What's your favourite sausage you like to munch on, Dave?
Just a small one.
Just a regular beef one?
Yeah, regular beef.
Not a little pork one?
No, not a
chipotle.
Chipotle? Aren't they called like chipitas or something? I just don't know my sausage. Sausage chat.
Very good.
So, yeah, Sammy's kicked off the swordfish season there.
Yeah.
So once everyone stopped being distracted by Marlon, it'll probably be on.
Yes.
Rodney Gillam.
Yeah.
For Marlon for the day about 2 days ago. I don't even think he would have put anything on socials. I think it was just like stories and stuff, Joe.
Oh, I saw something. He was, yeah.
So
There
you go. He's mega ship.
You know, he's just having his best time of his life there. Looks
good
like
on him. He deserves it.
Looks like it's
there you go. Rodney and young Nico with four flags flying in the air.
So is it 50-foot Maritimo is his vessel there? It's called Pandemonium.
Pandemonium.
Yep.
It's about as wide as my boat is long. Four Marlin up north of Touros there from Rodney. I think he said he got two on lures and a couple of them switching. He's a big switcher and lure tower roll. Rodney goes against the trend. Most people just walk live baits around slowly, but not Rodney. He likes to cover some ground.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the man up there this year, actually. He would be walking around like he's got the biggest bullhurst in the world. He's had a ripping season. So good on him. So, yeah, for Marlon, I think that was yesterday, and then today I was chatting to him this morning and he'd already seen like three or so, so I don't know how many he converted, but good on him, living his best life up there.
Is it 442 today?
Today?
That he went, that was his Marlin score, Marlin
was
scorecard.
Oh, was it? I didn't say that
442,
one.
I think.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yep.
How good are you on your phone searching here, Joey? There's a report from Fishing Online.
Oh, yeah, we're good for them, yep.
Yep, so Green Cape Marlin or Eden Marlin. Maddie and Mick went out and this is about 3 or 4 days ago, and they went 20-13-6 on Marlin out there in the rough.
Yeah, it looks rough as.
And then two the next day. So hot bite going on there or was going on there. Who knows where it's at now. But that's a good day. Imagine if you converted all those.
That's ridiculous.
Your arms would actually fall off.
20. That's like Cabo style in Mexico.
It is.
Must be really reversing on them and snapping them off.
Well, clearly, because they only ended up with 6.
Yeah.
Good day there. Oh, there's our video. So well done to those boys. So Marlon's probably the big thing at the moment, but also still plenty of kingfish around, Joe. Malacuta. Montague Island's been really good.
Oh, that's good.
The old school mecca there, Montague Island.
Mm-hmm.
Not massive, but heaps of kings down there. Locally, there's been a few reports filtering through. I think like us, everyone gets distracted by tuna. So there's probably still some people sneaking around on the kings catching them.
Yep.
But a lot of tuna fishing going on. Southern Port Phillip, whiting have been steady and calamari have been very good as well, Joe. So always a good option down there. I think it was the Real Time guys I saw did a nice charter out there and had a nice esky covered in calamari and whiting. So bread and butter fishing still going good, Joe.
It's good. Shell Salt Living in the chat room says the spider crabs are in 3 months early.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Joe's going to go catch them and then be disappointed about the lack of meat.
Absolutely terrible to eat. Don't try to eat a spider crab.
Local tuna still going very strong. Although, might have been the new moon phase last weekend, a lot of people actually missed out, Joe.
Oh, yeah. But they really are everywhere. Like, I'm going to see if I can get up on this video from this morning. Chris Kassar from Kassar Fishing Charters got out this morning up on your screen there, just up on his trusty Furuno there. He was out at first light this morning and he just runs over a school of tuna.
Racing on in.
And pretty much, there we go, one's hooked up. Well, second month. And the third month. He's hooked up.
Very good.
There's heaps of them out there.
I enjoyed your real noises too.
Yeah.
All right. Gippy report from Simon Webster, the man, the myth, the legend. Good conditions over the next few days. We'll see sword and marlin hunters heading wide. Nice blue water is pushing in from east currently with water temps sneaking up. Ooh, kings could be good down that way.
Yes.
Reports of marlin popping up from Malacuta, Eden, etc. Obviously plenty of fish about for those with the time and opportunity. Snapper grounds appear to be picking up, maybe reaching the peak for the season this year. I think Simon got a lovely 88-centimetre model during the week, which he hasn't even mentioned in his own report. He's too humble.
Oh.
King George Whiting starting to turn up in better numbers. North side of Flanagan and Fraser Islands being the place to be. Breams and salmon going well at Bem currently. And many nice fish being landed last week in the competitions. And I saw Lake Tyers as like literally water lapping over the sandbar.
Oh, wow.
Oh, there you go. Here's a photo of Bailey's beautiful 88-centimetre snapper.
Oh, yeah, I'll just plug it in.
That's too much effort. All right, plug it in.
Yeah, get it.
Well, I've got nothing else to say about it. I think
okay. The
boys were even using live bait on that one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The people have seen it, Joe. It's all good.
Okay.
I appreciate the effort, mate, but, you know, got to keep moving with these things.
Yeah, of course.
So good report there from Webby. Enjoyed that.
Yeah, lovely.
Peter Ferguson.
Fishing with Fergie, Peter Ferguson.
He's been offshore down at Welshpool on the Gum Dogs.
He sure has, yep.
Thursday,
got that there
15th of the 2nd, he had a guide charter booked, Hungry Gummies. He predicted the bite time because he's some sort of gummy shark guru. And within 15 minutes of his prediction, the first rod buckled and a lovely 12-kilo gummy in the net, followed by a 20-kilo that was released to breed. And then another two more around 12 to 13 kilo. And another big one about 18 that was also released. So
a lot of people really enjoy the gummy shark fishing. It's good to see.
A lot of people do. Do you think it's become less popular these days than it used to be? Remember how popular?
No, I reckon it's still just as popular as ever, gummy fishing.
Really? Yep. I think everyone just goes tuna and stuff.
No, I think it's just as popular. You've got to start somewhere, right? You know, when you start out with bait fishing, you will naturally catch small fish and then eventually, you know, when you're dangling larger baits, On your basic sort of...
Wouldn't know anything about that.
If you're on your basic sort of budget rod and reel kit, like, let's face it, the gummy shark's probably one of the biggest things you can catch by a trailer boat, in Melbourne, like, just not going offshore, obviously.
My theory is that, say, other states where sharks are a pest and people don't want to catch them, like Queensland, I think that it's becoming more that way down here where we've got more premier species and the sharks are just getting in the way.
Yeah, that's
although
true.
I do think what you're saying is valid. In my opinion, they've lost some popularity from what they were back in the day, because years ago we didn't have any other cool stuff to catch and they were it. They pulled hard, they tasted good, and but now we've got, you know, kingfish, tuna.
What I'm saying though, it still takes a significant boat to drive out to the kingfish and the tuna. Like, you can have a really cheap boat and a rod and reel, and probably a gummy shark is the biggest thing that you're going to catch, the limits of your vessel. That's what I'm trying to say. If you've like got a cheap boat and a budget rod and reel, gummy shark is still, you're still a hero if you can catch that.
Good. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to King Kong, Donkey Kong catch of the week.
All right. Ring the bell.
Yep. Our own Jonah Yick.
Joey. King Kong, Donkey Kong, mate. Look
at this. So fishing off Coles Bay recently, Jonah was on one of his classic holiday tours and he always manages to sneak some fishing in. And just off the jetty there, and wouldn't you know it, a whole giant pack of kingfish turned up and Jonah proceeded to catch a whole heap of those.
Yeah, I got a picture of the kingfish right here.
That's an eel. Definitely an eel. It's even got eel handling. Like, it's even got eel handling gloves.
Oh, shit.
Apparently your audio is crackling a bit, Joey.
Oh, it's just a bit close to the microphone.
Oh,
sorry.
You got a bit excited.
Sorry, Shane.
I
blew his ear holes out.
A bit excitable about the eel. Do we have actual kingfish photos or is...
Did you
don't tell me we don't. Our whole thumbnail was Jonah's kingfish. I'll find it for you, Joe.
No, I've got it. Oh, no. No, just the thumbnail. That's all I got.
No. Here you go. Once again, we can just look at my phone screen.
Oops.
Oh. There you go. Beautiful fish around 60 centimetres, which is quite big for down there, 60 to 70. Off the jetty on sluggos and squid strips, he tells me. So there you go. Some good fishing there from Jonah and King Kong Donkey Kong catch of the week for that man.
That's
mainly
awesome.
Because he always manages to pull off incredible catches whilst he should be on family holidays, which I can appreciate. Because on my whole lap of Tasmania with the family, I was trying to do the same thing. So well done, Jonah.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right. I've got a big old grinds my gears, Joey.
Oh, okay.
We now go to Peter Griffin for You Know What Really Grinds My Gears.
Thanks, Tom. You know what really grinds my gears?
Now, Joey, I've sent you through a video of this one because I thought, why not make this a funny video format? But
oh, right, okay.
One of the things that grinds my gears, if you watch this video here, it's when you go fishing with mates and they put your lures on their rods.
You pig of a man.
And they're using your lures on their own tackle, and then the end of the trip, they just put the rods in the car and go home with your lures still attached. So I've taken it upon myself there to just grab Joe's scissors and slice my lures off the rods and regain them.
Those are my chicken cutting scissors, you jerk.
Yeah, well, now they're line cutting scissors, champ. You shouldn't steal.
Mm.
Couple of old favourite battle wounded Halco divers, and you tried to thieve them off me. Look at that. They don't have much paint left, Joe.
Yeah.
You can't take good mojo lures like that.
Okay, sure.
King Brown and Pilchard, by the way. Good colours. That's what grinds my gears. And the other thing that I was thinking of today is the amount of freaking Seabob ads that I get because you kept talking about them at one stage. The underwater scooter thingies.
Ooh.
Remember those?
Yeah, the sea scooters.
Mm. Still popping up in my feed. Very annoying.
Unbelievable. I think we might just quickly roll over to our tool of the week.
Uh-oh, what have I done?
What?
Is it me?
You.
I don't have a tool of the week.
Well, I've got it.
Okay, go.
It's you.
Okay, what do I do?
I've had some fan mail this week. The tool of the week needs to go to you. Last week on tool of the week, we'd nominated Suraj and Reese. They forgot to take the little plastic sleeve off their jig than when they were jigging in the rip for Kingfish.
Can I guess that this fan mail came from Reese Kennedy? It did, didn't it?
Apparently, one day of standing was trolling for barrels all day at Port MacDonald, and he had the plastic sleeve on his barrel lure, towing it around all day before he realised that that was connected.
Me?
Yeah.
No, that's a made-up story.
Really?
Yeah. It was a nice try.
He said you were going to deny it too.
That's because it's completely made up. Well, I've never used hooks that come with a plastic sleeve on them other than jigs.
Well, you got a chance.
It's probably the number one rule of having a crack at someone is to not just completely fabricate the story. Questions? All right. Yep, there's a question there about whether you have hookups for Taylor Swift tickets.
There you go.
Claim that you do not. When was the last time we went out fishing? For me, it was last Saturday.
Last Saturday. Yep.
Joseph, not for a while. Best moon phase for school tuna? Not really fast. I would say lead up to the full moon if I had to choose one.
Yep.
And do we reckon the barrels will turn up early March again like last year? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's usually.
There's plenty of bait around.
Well, what the water cools down, the bait gets bigger. Yeah. And that's when the barrels come in, right?
And apparently there's quite a lot of red bait and stuff off Portland, so they'll be on that very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a couple of general questions about tuna spreads and setups. One of them was from good friend Michelle, who's heading out early in the morning, and she asked me for some tips as to how to get onto a few fish. Basically, we just go out on these local tuna, and our plan is generally go out and cast top water at them. If they're not doing feeding during that, they're not receptive to that, then we will swap to generally trolling. And really, we just run a three rod spread because quite often you get mega multiple hookups, and three is enough for us. So just two divers and one small skirt behind a spreader bar in the shotgun position. And generally one of those, either top water or that trolling method, is going to work. If it's not, then it's generally a matter of persistence and they will switch on at some point during the day. You can try many different techniques, but when they're switched off, they're generally switched off.
Mm-hmm.
So just persist and eventually they will fade. That's what I find with them.
Very good.
In terms of like spread length or anything, we just run the long shotgun and then one medium and one short corner, basically.
You don't have to be too fussy, right?
No, it's more about just putting the time in and locating where the fish are and then persisting.
Exactly.
You can look into it. Leader size casting, we use 40 pound, so quite light. Trolling the divers at 60 pound, and then on the spreader bar, I generally will run like a 130 pound because I don't think it's going to, because they're already coming up on all the commotion. I don't think they're really leader shy. So, mm-hmm. And it does give you a little bit of a chance if a bigger fish eats that lure.
Yep.
So that's my tuna tips, Joey.
That was very comprehensive. I liked that.
It was, wasn't it? Summed up very quickly. So what we might do is probably wrap this one up fairly shortly.
Yep.
Thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you all next week.
We'll catch you next time.